this week, I'm not going to tell you all the truth. But God willing, I'm going to tell you some of it. You see, there's none of us that can tell all there is to know about God. I'm just going to, by His grace, show you just a few grains of sand from that great beach that is truth and that is God. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. None of us, no one of us, can tell you all there is to know about God. And for this reason, don't be a follower of men. None of us can describe His glory because none of us can take Him all in. I'm not sure you're going to even be listening to what I say this week. Last fall, I spoke at an academy, and I gave a very simple little sermon about how to lose money. In fact, it was built around what I call three seminars. The first little 10 minutes was how to lose a fortune. And of course, it was neglect it, throw it away, or abandon it. And then after I did 10 minutes on how to lose money, I said, now I'm going to have a seminar on how to lose your girlfriend. Well, the young people, and I said, it's how to lose your wife or husband too, by the way. Neglect her, abandon her, or run off with somebody new. And then I told them, now I'm going to tell you about how to lose Jesus as a friend. It's the same, you notice. On Sabbath, they asked me to speak at the Sabbath school for the young people. Now, instead of being at the academy, it would be at a church. And so when I recognized some of the young people that were there, I said, you remember me? I spoke to you on Monday. They said, we remember. I said, do you remember what I talked about? One of them said, how to lose a fortune. I thought, that's pretty good. I said, how do you lose it? And they told me, by neglecting it, throw it out, or abandon it. I said, what else did I talk about? They said, how to lose your girlfriend. I thought, brother. I said, how do you lose your girlfriend? They said, the same way. I said, what else did I talk about? I said, come on, that was the punchline. That was the part that I wanted. We don't remember. Isn't that interesting? You see, when I was talking about money, and they were into that. When I was talking about boyfriends and girlfriends, they were into that. But when I was talking about Jesus, they weren't into it. And they weren't listening. They didn't hear me. That's why Jesus said, he that hath an ear, oh, please hear me. I'm talking about God. I am going to speak to you this week, and I don't know if you'll hear me or if you'll understand. A lady came to me in one state after I had preached, and she said, Pastor O'Phil, do you know when most ministers speak, it goes right over my head. She says, but when you speak, I get it. She said, you know, I had just finished speaking. She said, you just said in your sermon that, well, what you were explaining to, well, what I, she said, that's funny. When you said it, I understood it perfectly. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. This week I'm going to talk to you about what to expect in the Christian life. You see, success in our Christian lives is guaranteed, provided that certain things happen. Discouragement and defeat can result or can be the result of unfulfilled expectations. Did you hear me? You have a certain expectation of what it means to be a Christian. So do I, of what the Christian life is supposed to be. And if it's not meeting that, or if you're not headed that way, you and I are frustrated and we could lose. This morning I want to talk to you about what to expect when you get saved. I could also entitle that sermon, Taste and See. Or another title, a little gross, I must admit, Put Up or Shut Up. I remember how embarrassed I used to be when I would talk with some of these people from other churches and they would say to me, Are you saved? Anybody ever asked you that question? Are you saved? I can remember, I don't know if my ears turned red or my face turned red, but I felt like I was embarrassed. You see, I've been raised a Seventh-day Adventist. My father's a minister. Supposing then that it was a Baptist, and I'm sure that many Baptists ask me that question, and they would come up to me and they'd say, Are you saved? I'm saved. And I'd think to myself, Honey, you may be saved now, but you won't be for long. You know, the Adventist mind, huh? And so I didn't know what to say, but I'm thinking to myself, Well, I may not be saved yet, but I'm going to be. You know what I mean? We had a crisis in our church in the late 70s. We discovered that Jesus has already paid for our ticket to heaven and there's no tipping allowed. This shocked us because it made it sound like the Baptist was right all along. It shocked some of us so bad, even the ministers, that many SDA ministers left the faith. And probably hundreds of our own church members began to go to church on Sunday. Times have changed, thank God. It's as if we put a tourniquet on the artery that was hemorrhaging. You ask a Seventh-day Adventist now if he's saved, and he says, Yes. The Baptist slaps him on the back and says, Welcome, brother. Hey, but we've got to admit it. We'll walk away having said we're saved, kind of mumbling under our breath, before we knew why we were keeping the Sabbath. It was to be saved. Now we're not quite sure why. If the Baptist is saved and I'm saved, seems like somebody's going to a lot of trouble for nothing. What does it mean to be a Christian? Can we know we're saved? Can we have the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours? Does saying you're saved make you saved? In order to know what to expect when we get saved, we've got to understand what it means to be lost. What did we lose? Or Grandma and Grandpa, Adam and Eve, what did they lose when they sinned? Now hang on to this. In the first place, when they sinned, we became separated from God. You may not like this expression, but we became a lower life form. Now, the trees out there are alive. They don't look like it here in Pennsylvania, but they're alive. There's animals out there, too. They're alive. Do you know you can go out and talk to a tree and you can say, Old woodsman, spare the tree, or only God can make a tree. But you can talk to that tree all you want, but it won't talk back. There's little rabbits out there. They're alive, like the tree, but they're a higher life form. You can go out there and talk to the rabbits all you want. They're alive, but they're a lower life form. They can't talk back. Now, you can go home and talk to your dog. He seems to understand. He seems to talk back, but he just can't make it clear. When we were made, brothers and sisters, believe it or not, we were made to be able to talk face to face with God. When we sinned, we became a lower life form. We lost that ability. When man sinned, and this is kind of a mystery, I'm only beginning to contemplate it now, something happened inside our heads. We became loaded with guilt. Guilt is still a mystery. But apparently guilt in our heads is kind of like a short circuit. It short circuits the will and keeps it from operating freely. Do you know if you and I have a guilty conscience, it tends to poison all of our relationships. It's a short circuit that inhibits relationships with God and with each other. Now, it doesn't make any difference if a person says to you, don't feel guilty, or you don't need to feel guilty. Hey, somebody can say to you, never mind, you can stick the coat hanger in the electric plug. It still will short you out. So the fact that we don't say or admit that we're guilty, or somebody tells us we're not, we are, and it's ruining our lives. So when man sinned, he became separated. He became a lower life form. He became loaded with guilt. When man sinned, he lost the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is kind of a new thing to me. All my life I've talked about the Holy Spirit and even prayed, Lord, send the Holy Spirit. I don't know if other ministers are like me, but when we preach, we use preacher talk. And we're not even sure what all the words mean. And when we preach, you hear preacher talk, and you smile and say, amen, I wonder what he means. So when I talk about these things, I'm not even sure, but I'm praying the Lord will help me to understand. But don't be surprised. You see, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Don't be surprised. The Holy Spirit must be the part that God sends. It's the part of God himself. It is God that makes it possible, it unites with our spirit, with the spirit of man, and that made it possible in those early days for man to be able to share the attitudes and feelings of God. That was lost when man sinned. When man sinned, also something else happened. He lost the power of choice. Satan began to run his life. You ever use the expression, I'm fed up with other people telling me what to do? Son, it's the way it is. Maybe your wife telling you what to do, or your husband, or your boss, but it's always the devil. We fell under the dominion of the devil. We lost the power to resist temptation. When man sinned, he also became subject to physical death. Hear me? He was already spiritually brain dead. The instant he sinned, the physical death would take longer, but it would come. Now, the reason I've gone over this is so that you can know when we say, are you saved? We got to know what we're talking about. Saved from what? These things that I just mentioned. And if a person is going to be saved, then it has to be around the problem. Salvation from sin to be complete, to meet your needs and mine, must address all five, maybe there are more, of these results of sin, which I've just enumerated, any one of which is crippling. Now you say, Dick, what are you telling us that for? Because many of us, when we talk about being saved, we're talking about mainly one emphasis. And you'll hear this all around. It'll use the expression eternal life. Have you heard that one? Brother, do you have eternal life? Are you saved? Do you have eternal life? Hey, listen, this business of our physical death is the least of the results of sin. In fact, it's the easiest one for God to deal with. If sin was just a matter of dying physically, then all God would have had to do to solve the problem was to plant these trees of life strategically here or there, or give us some vitamin or something. Besides, to some extent, physical death is not sin. It's only result. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the nitty-gritty of salvation has to destroy the cause of sin and sin itself. It has to deal with the problem of our philosophical and spiritual separation from God. It has to deal with guilt, which has shorted out our spiritual computer. It has to deal not only with who we are, but what we are. The Spirit of God would need to once more be united with the spirit of man so that we could share God's feelings and attitudes. Salvation, if it's going to be effective, must deal with the problem of Satan's domination over us and restore to us the power of choice. And then, the easiest of all, deal with the problem of physical death. Let's go back and ask ourselves the question, what can you expect when you get saved? It's a package deal, not just one part. It's much better than just simply being able to say, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Salvation is much more than that. When you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can expect to be restored to the family of God. You will now be a higher life form. The scripture tells us, beloved, now are we again the sons of God. That's good news. When we give our lives and get saved, we can expect that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there, my friend, goes your guilt. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. When you get saved, you can expect, listen to me, that the devil and sin shall no longer have dominion over you. The scripture tells us we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Listen to what else you can expect. You can expect that the Holy Spirit will recreate not who you are, but what you are. What will He do for you? You know what He'll do for you. Sometimes we think that getting the Holy Ghost is being able to speak Chinese. Oh, come on. Being able to lay hands on people and cure them from awful diseases. Oh, I wish. My daddy wrote me a letter one time and he said, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit all the time. Hey, Judas had the gifts of the Spirit. Didn't he? I would say he did. When Jesus laid His hands on the 12, He sent them out to what? Heal diseases and cast out devils and speak Chinese. You know what I mean when I say that. Some people think when you've got the Holy Spirit, you just speak in tongues. It's more than that. The devil can speak in tongues. If you want to say that the gifts of the Spirit, I think the devil's got them all. You know what I'm talking about. Daddy went on to say, he said, we talk about the gift of the Spirit. He said, but not too much about the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, listen, it isn't the gift of the Spirit that restores us to heaven. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Who will talk about that? Next time a person says, do you have the Holy Spirit? You can ask him the same question. While he's there speaking in Chinese, talk to him about love and joy and peace and long suffering. You hear me, don't you? The fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and believe it or not, self-control. When you get saved, you and I can expect that in our flesh, we will see God. Oh, the trumpet will sound all right. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's good news. You can expect that when you get saved. Can a Seventh-day Adventist or any Christian for that matter have the assurance of salvation? Oh, yes. Provided that he's accepted the whole package. All salvation is more than just, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now that's good news, but it's much more than that. It's like a car engine. You see, a car that's not hitting on all cylinders, sooner or later is going to have trouble. In the life of any Christian, in your life and mine, oh yes, we can have the assurance that our names are written up there. We can have the assurance that if we confess our sins, He forgives us. We can say we don't feel guilty anymore. But brothers and sisters, if in our Christian lives sin still dominates you, if the Holy Spirit is not manifesting Himself by fruits in your life, you're headed for trouble down the road. Your life is not, your salvation is not hitting on all its cylinders. Do you hear me? You understand what I say? That God forgives us. Blessed assurance. That He's accepted me. Thank God. But hey, if the devil is still walking on me, something's wrong. That Jesus loves you, this I know. That you can look forward to the resurrection is wonderful. But if you're not loving and kind and gentle to your wife, to your children, your salvation is not hitting on all its cylinders. Something's wrong. There'll be trouble down the road. Do you hear me? Some people say, isn't it wonderful what Jesus did for us back there on the cross? Oh, yes, it's wonderful. It's everything. Some people, they say, isn't it wonderful what Jesus is going to do for us someday? Oh, yeah. It's wonderful what He's going to do for us someday. But brothers and sisters, I think the time has come. What I'm looking for is not someone to tell me what happened one day or what's going to happen someday. But I want to hear what's going on today in your life. Hey, it's time that we put up or shut up. We're sitting around, we're arguing amongst ourselves, and we're throwing texts at each other. And we're just reading the spirit of prophecy to each other. Oh, everybody uses the spirit of prophecy these days, you know. What'd you expect the devil to use? The Quran? Hey, I don't don't want anybody telling me these days what I ought to be doing. I need somebody to show me what the power of gospel can be. You see, I live now. The devil is trying to walk on me and on my family, and I need the blessed assurance that God is more powerful and that He can give me victory over the devil and over the flesh. That's what I need now. Yes. To be hitting on all its cylinders, that's what I want. And oh, more than anything, the Holy Spirit. Oh, to have His love. Today, not someday, today. To be gentle and to be forgiving and kind and to have self-control. Not someday. But today, today is when my problem is. Do we have assurance? Oh, yes. Have we bought the package? Have we tasted? Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest if you and I yield Him our body and soul. Heavenly Father, oh Jesus, blessed assurance Jesus is ours. But oh Lord, oh Lord, though we know someday You're going to take us out because of what You did there on the cross so long ago. But oh Father, we need You today. We pray that in this place, Lord, in every life, that the dominion and the power that sin and the devil has had over us will be broken. And we pray that in this place that You'll fill us with the Holy Ghost, with power, and oh Lord, from You the vine, bring that fruit into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel to reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.